Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
My How the Weeks Fly When You're Locked Down. Episode 3 of Richie Firth Travel Hacker. I'm Richie Firth, and I hack travel. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Richie. You appear to have slowed down a little bit. You sounded like we need to replace your batteries.
What, when I spoke?
No. The speaking was fine. It was the... I tell you what. This bit now, in isolation without the music, sounds like this. So, you see what I mean?
I don't know what you're about.
That's better. That's much faster. That's excellent.
Okay. I'm glad I've got up to the right speed for you.
How's your week been?
It's been all right. I feel like I'm speeding up and slowing down. But yeah, no, all good. How about you?
I've travelled all over the world. I've seen lots of interesting people and places. Just sadly, it's all been in two dimensions. Rich, we've had a little bit of reaction to the Terry's chocolate lemon. I think you owe me £100.
That's being taken out of our Patriot fund. Right?
Okay.
Anyone who's joined as a Patriot, okay, thank you very much. We'll come on to you lot in a minute. It is appreciated. But yeah, the £100 fine for the existence of the Terry's chocolate lemon, okay, which I will hold my hands up. Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought lemon chocolate? But yeah, I'm not going to apologise. But yeah, £100, that, you take it out of that, mate.
I don't want an apology. I just want the cash. And yes, I will take it out of that.
If you would like to become a patriot of Richie Firth Travel Hacker, you can go to cockpatreon.com/travel hacker.
Yes.
You see, I'm embracing it. 3 episodes in.
What is interesting about it, though, is if you listen back to it, it now sounds like you said cockwobble in the middle of that, just really quietly underneath your own voice.
Cockwobble?
Yes, I think that's what you said. So should we start by bigging up the Patreons now? Do you want to get straight into a hack?
No, let's look, they paid for it, so they deserve to be in first class right at the front of the train. Joshua, thank you very much for coming on down. Oh, I've got a little bit Leslie Crowther. John has become... No, that wasn't Leslie Crowther.
No,
that was someone
wasn't.
Very different.
I think you made that mistake in the last season.
John has become... Joshua has become associated with that noise that you just did. Apologies to Joshua.
Joshua, I'm sorry.
John is a brand new Patreon, as is Andrew, as is Keith. Elizabeth is. She's a lady. It doesn't just have to be men that pay for this.
What?
Michael is a brand new Patreon, as is Stephanie, another lady. Or is it? You can get men that are called Steph.
Okay, so I don't know why the men didn't get called out. Oh, he's a man. But yet the ladies did. There's something quite weird about that.
No, it's not weird. I'll tell you why. I've been looking at some of the analytics of this Travel Hacker podcast.
Oh, gosh. Yes, okay.
Yeah, all right. So to see that there's women paying for this, that's why I was surprised.
Elizabeth, Stephanie, and any other of the 15% of the audience who are women, thank you for being a part of the experience.
I actually said to my wife, I said, how many of this audience do you think are men? And she went, I don't know, 90%. So she she overestimated it. Anyway, let's get down to hacking.
Stu Wilson writes, this is Stu. On Twitter, but actually uses words, which is good, unlike some of the brief messages we received last week. Which method of London transport is best to get around all the professional football clubs in the capital? Time, not a factor. Finance would be. Would want to include stops for flapjacks and tango. I love it.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Right, a few things to deal with here. Season one of Richie Firth Travel Hacker. You can go back through all the old episodes if you've joined us, you know, halfway through all this. Season one, we hacked the London Overground. We attempted to set a world record for visiting all London Overground stations in as quick a time as possible. And in that episode, or three episodes, I seem to remember,
it was.
We first stumbled across tango and flapjack as the chosen drink and snacks of this podcast. It was due to be Rubicon at one point, but they snubbed us. Anyway, what would be the best way to consume tango and flapjack while going around London's football grounds? First of all, what we've got to do is establish what are London's football grounds. This should be pretty easy to agree.
Clubs, not grounds.
Agreed.
So so first thing for me then, that rules out Wembley Stadium.
Agreed.
Okay.
So I have decided, obviously, various football teams have existed at different times. Some have been relegated. Some are not in good places at the moment. I have decided, for the purposes of this, don't look at me with those wild eyes. I think we should only look at teams that are in the 92 professional divisions.
I disagree. Stu doesn't say the top four divisions. He clearly doesn't say that. He says, and I quote, all the professional football clubs in the capital. The capital, he means London. The professional football clubs means a club that employs footballers professionally full time, in my mind.
But then all of a sudden we're going around all sorts of places like Sutton United and Dulwich Hamlet. Who's going to want to go around there?
Okay, for a start, Sutton United, yes, full-time professional players. Dulwich Hamlet, no, they don't have a full-time professional squad.
Right, okay.
I've done my research, Rich, as I assume you have as well.
I've done my research after I'd made a ruling in my head that we were only going to do teams from the Premier League, the Championship, and League One and League Two. So tell me what other sundry teams we're now having to add.
Sundry teams. So the teams that I would include, I think you're not up for including, Rich. Barnet.
Correct.
Wealdstone.
Right.
Who are also a National League side at the moment.
Yeah.
Sutton United.
Yeah.
Who you alluded to. And one other non-league but professional club, which is Bromley Football Club.
Right.
So there's four professional football teams there, where we immediately have parted.
Okay. I'm going to go through my list, and you can interject with your part-time achievers as and when you want.
I'm still interested not just in your route but in your stop-offs.
Thank you very much. I've started at West Ham because it was the easiest place to finish as well, and we'll come to that. So here's my teams. Okay, West Ham United, Tottenham Hotspur, Chelsea, Arsenal, Crystal Palace, Fulham, Brentford, Millwall, Queen's Park Rangers, Charlton Athletic, and Leighton Orient. They are London's
football
team.
Hang on, did you say Dagenham and Redbridge there?
No.
Dagenham and Redbridge.
Were there another non-league outfit?
Oh, they back down in the National League.
I've got no time for that.
They're also a professional club on my list.
So I've started at West Ham because the list I've just given you is going to be the route that we're going to take as well. And we're going to finish off at Leighton Orient. So then at least if you've parked your car somewhere and you're doing this on a car, at least you're going to end up back at the right place as well. So we're going to start at the London Stadium, home of West Ham United, was home of the Olympics. We move off to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, then the Emirates Stadium, then Loftus Road, then Griffin Park, although I think it's a new one now. And it's called the Brentford Community Stadium or something or other. Craven Cottage, Stamford Bridge, Selhurst Park, the New Den, the Valley and Brisbane Road.
Okay, do you have any information then on the total distance, how long it will take and also what mode of transport?
Yes, I do. So the total distance is 52 miles, okay? That's quite a distance. Mm. Quite a distance, I thought. Depends how you do it as to how long it would take. If you are going in the car, going by road, first of all, what a dreadful decision. Why would you want to do that, okay? You're driving around London. It's going to be awful, you know. Yep. It's going to take away all the joy of what you're doing. So let's rule out the car. Let's totally. Also rule out the taxi. Because if you're going to go for 52 miles around London in a taxi, you must have just won some competition which has guaranteed you a lot of money because you're going to be broke. Or
you can't think
charge.
Of what that competition might be. Have you got some kind of contractual obligation that you can't say the lottery?
All right, the lottery.
The pools.
You've just done the scratch card, yeah. I'd love it. That'd be great if it was the pools. You could link that with all the football teams that you're going
Loads
to go
of home
visit.
Draws.
So I think you're either, if you're talking about a mode of transport, because you could walk it, but that would take a long while. So I think you're really looking at the bike or public transport, okay? A bike, you're looking at around about 5 hours. 5 hours to do the whole journey. And being that you're only cracking open a can of Tango and consuming a flapjack, trust me, I'm going to do flapjack quicker than I am Tango. 5 hours, I think, is an achievable time for that 52 miles. The best way to do it, in my opinion, is a one-day travel card. £12.60. For a one-day travel card to use the train and mostly the tube. Although some of these non-league sides in South London that Chris are chucking in, you're not going to be able to do on the tube. It's going to make the whole thing even worse. So I would suggest this is how you complete this hack. You start at Stratford. Take the overground. Take the Greater Anglia line up to Northumberland Park. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the home of Tottenham Hotspur for this particular hack. Then you would make your way to Seven Sisters Tube Station from Spurs Ground and take the Victoria line down to Finsbury Park. A little stroll down from Finsbury Park to the Emirates Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Then you are getting back on the tube to make your way round from King's Cross, once you've gone down there on the Piccadilly or the Victoria line, round to Wood Lane on the Hammersmith and City line to get off and walk to Loftus Road, home of Queen's Park Rangers. Once you've been there, then make your way back on to the District line and down to Gunnersbury, which I think is the closest ground to Fulham for Craven Cottage. Back on the District line. Up
I love
to
Craven Cottage, by the way.
Oh, it's great.
That's outside of my own home allegiances. That's a pretty special stop-off.
Going to go a little bit niche here. Craven Cottage, home of Fulham, their address is Stevenage Road, okay? Historic football club, Fulham. Part of their ground, historic. They've got a cottage in it, all right? So it's really ancient. But it's on a road, Stevenage Road, that is named after a new town built in the 1960s as the UK government built new towns for all the baby boomers after the World War. So that's weird, isn't it? You've got a historic football ground on a road name that's named after a new town.
Is it named after a new town, or was there like just once like Lord Stevenage, you know, of wherever, and both are named after the same person?
I don't think you'll find that there's a Lord Stevenage. That's not a very, like, you know... You're not going to have like a Lord Crawley or a Lord Harlow or a Lord Welling Garden City.
Okay, so, the last one of those I agree, but the previous two, I would not rule that out.
Lord Harlow?
Yeah, that sounds pretty...
I don't think so. Back on our journey, Putney Bridge.
It means the stiff oak, Stevenage, that is.
Madam. Putney Bridge, home of Stamford Bridge, home of Chelsea. Then Selhurst on the overground for Crystal Palace. Then mm-hmm. South Bermondsey on the overground for Millwall. It's really close to the line into London Bridge, actually. And then back out from London Bridge on the overground to Charlton.
Okay. And then from Charlton?
Then you're back to Leighton Orient.
To get your car. Okay, you kind of... You didn't mention Orient at the start. You just kind of assumed that we'd know where you were going at the end there.
Well, because you've left the car there.
Right, okay. I know we've got differences in our rules and what we constitute for clubs.
Yep.
But why have you missed one of the league clubs?
What one?
Wimbledon. Look at your face.
How have I done that?
Oh my God, Rich. There's no excuse, is there, for taking them out?
There's no excuse. And that means all my timings, mileages...
It's all gone tits up, mate.
Costings. Ah, bloody hell.
It's a disaster.
Hang on. Work with me here. No, don't work with me. Just allow me to work. Where am
sure.
I going? Where on the route am I chucking Wimbledon?
Overground, underground, one building free.
I'd suggest Richie when you're dicking
has
around...
Up.
Royally.
Carmen.
I would suggest when you're dicking around on the district line, just on Fulham Broadway, then get down to Fulham. Not Fulham, Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then... Oh, man. I'm reading from that. Don't like that. Don't like that at all.
You know what? The worst will be the Wimbledon fan listening to this, who's
been
also...
listening the last 12 minutes. Why did you not say earlier? We might have had a Wimbledon fan that's about to become
okay.
a patriot.
Okay. I say this. Did you not just notice before I pointed Wimbledon out? I was like, where are we going from Charlton? I wanted you to clarify that you got to Orient at the
yeah.
end.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the window where I needed you to make a point. I didn't know, for example, that you weren't going to say, and from there we go to Wimbledon because it's so nice and we'll end up in a nice place. I didn't know that you weren't going to say that.
Oh, dear.
I officially have a better hack than you.
Go on then.
Because for a start, I have incorporated all the professional clubs. In some ways, the route isn't that different, Rich.
Mm-hmm. Because I think my route was pretty good if I had included Wimbledon.
It's 107 miles, Rich.
Oh, wow.
So, I start at Dagenham and Redbridge because if you don't know, that is far east London. It's sort of my neck of the woods and it's yeah. miles away. I went from there and I my mode of transport is bicycle, obviously, because mm-hmm. it's me. And B, yep. because if you already own a bike, it's even cheaper.
Yep.
So, from Dagenham and Redbridge to Tottenham down to Leighton Orient. Leighton Orient down to West Ham.
Yeah.
West Ham over to Arsenal.
Yeah.
Arsenal up to Brent to Barnet.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on a second. Did you say Brentford?
Yes.
Oh, you did say Brentford. Okay, fine.
Barnet. Don't try and catch me out another time.
No, it's fair enough. It's fair. From Barnet over to Wildstone.
Yeah.
Ryslip Way. Wildstone yeah. over to Brentford.
Yeah.
Brentford over to QPR.
Yes.
So this is not a million miles from the way you were doing it. QPR down to Craven Cottage, over to Chelsea, down to AFC Wimbledon.
Mm-hmm.
From AFC Wimbledon, straight further down south to Sutton United. Sutton United across to Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
Just a bit across further to Bromley, straight north to Charlton Athletic, and then back inside to the Den at Millwall to finish there. I did think about stop-off points along the way mm-hmm. as well. So a couple of options for you, Rich. When you're at Barnet, it's actually mm-hmm. quite rural around there, parts around there. So that's a nice potential stop-off. There's some nice quiet roads around
yeah.
there. Fulham was a good stop off on the Thames, somewhere like that. A nice place to stop, grab a pint of Fuller's beer or something.
Well, or equally, you're going to find some beautiful sort of like pastry shops on the on the King's Road for, like, you know, high end flapjack.
Yeah, flapjack. Oh my god! But then if you don't want high end
flapjacks.
Yes, no, I understood you immediately. But then I did have one last thought for a final stop, because it is a long journey. You're burning a lot of calories cycling. And I thought, as you're going to Crystal Palace, I was reminded of the London Overground journey that we did.
Yes.
And I thought, if you're heading to Palace, it's only a short detour to Anally, where we first bought our Tango and flapjacks.
Ah, yes. That would be great. I would love to go Anally again.
I need to go back and listen to that guy correcting us again. It's like my little audio comfort blanket is to go back to that friendly but slightly crazy man. By the way, lads, it's not Anally.
Oh, wow.
And then I think he said, did he say it means pig farm?
Yes, it did. It did. That was where it all came from. They used to farm pigs Anally. Here's an ad break. By the way, thank you very much for those commercial messages there. Thank you very much for the adverts, and also for the patrons who paid at the weekend for a very nice Thai takeaway.
No, they didn't. They paid for our tickets from Dublin to Derby via Douglas as we look to book a ferry to Heysham. Now, Rich, this is very important. We are not spending a penny of that Patreon money, yeah, until we have booked that ferry ride. And I thought I would, because, you know, I think we finished the call pretty enthusiastic about it last week. And I subsequently have been on their website.
Mm.
It is not a passenger-focused service. It is very much freight-focused.
I said at the time, this is a truck ferry. We'd have to hire some kind of flatbed truck just to get on it.
They do take some limited passengers.
Yeah.
Actually, so that is that. I think that is an option. But fuck me, it looks tough. Oh, Rich.
There was a fella who tweeted us since the last episode. What were they even called? Hang on, I have to turn back to my notes. Sea Truck Ferries.
Yes.
That's it, yeah. He tweeted us a picture saying, hello from Dublin. Picture of the Sea Truck Ferries. I don't know whether it was coming in or coming up, but wow. You've really got to want to go to the Isle of Man or over to Morecambe to use that.
We are going to spend 8 hours bouncing, mate. It's...
You were up for it in that bunk last week.
I'm still, mate, I am not backing out. I'm in. We are doing this. I would love as many people to fund Richie and I in an 8.5 hour bunk up between Dublin and Heysham, hopefully stopping at Douglas along the way.
For and our three Guinness in a day. Is it possible to do a pint of Guinness in Dublin, Douglas and Derby in one day, thanks to Sea Truck Ferries? That is what your Patreon money will be spent on, not on Thai takeaways. I did have a Thai takeaway at the weekend. I funded it myself, all right? But your Patreon money is going to go on the 3D Guinness Bonanza.
If anyone can get us from Morecambe to Derby, that would be... if anyone wants to volunteer themselves to help us do that, that would be most welcome.
Hey, well, there was a bloke last week who was on that hack. What was his name? Mark. He travels from Ireland to England. That was the whole point of us finding it. So he could do it.
Yeah. Okay. Mark, if you're up for helping us out here, look, this is on. This is on.
Right, Chris, let's have another hack.
This comes in from Duncan Steele. What is the single longest bus journey you can make in the UK on a normal bus, not a National Express type one, and which for American listeners is a Greyhound? And what are the best places to break the journey on that route so I can go sightseeing?
Right, Duncan, got a really good answer for you here. Not only will you be able to see some great sights, this is a factually correct answer. Chris, I mean, unless you've got the same answer as me, let's play a little game. How long in miles do you think the longest bus journey that you can do in the United Kingdom is?
Right, I think we both have the same answer here, because it's quite long and quite impressive.
Mm.
So I'm going to guess, Rich, 230 miles.
To the mile, my friend. Yes, 230 miles. 7 hours and 51 minutes you could be on that service. If you get the quick one on the way back, 7 hours and 28 minutes.
Great.
He says quick in inverted commas. We are talking about the 915 Scottish CityLink bus service from Glasgow to Uig on the Isle of Skye. That is the longest bus journey in the United Kingdom.
Does it stop at Loch Aylott on the way?
It doesn't. But it does pass Loch Lomond, which is beautiful. And of all the Scottish lochs, Loch Lomond is the one to go to. Loch Ness may well have your monster and is internationally famous, but Loch Lomond is the one that is absolutely beautiful. So you're going to want to be taking pictures of that. You might want to get off at the Glencoe Ski Centre and go for a ski and take some pictures at the top of the mountain. You may go during the summer and just go up there for a bit of a hike. You still get some good pictures. You may remember back in the day when BBC One, at the beginning of their TV shows, had a floating balloon globe thing at various different locations. Do you remember that time, Chris?
Vaguely.
You may want to go and visit the castle that featured in some of those beginning of programme things with the floating globe. That was called Dorney Castle. And that is a stop that you can take on the 915 Scottish CityLink. You may want to go to Kyle of La Calche, which used to be the stopping off point to get onto the Isle of Skye. Now there's a bridge you can just drive over, but there used to be a ferry. I did it because we had a family holiday there once.
Oh, OK. So you're quite familiar with this part of the world. So you're saying it's
familiar.
It's a long bus journey.
Yes.
It's a beautiful part of the world. I get that. I mean, that's really nice. Can you just let me know then how much this regular bus service costs?
Yes, I can. Okay. So if you were to go on a bus in London, I think it's around about £1.50 for one bus journey if you're using your Oyster these days. It's a little bit more than £1.50 to go from Glasgow to Uig. It's £47. But hey, it's 7 hours and 51 minutes, yeah. But it is indeed £47. Duncan was saying he wanted to find out a proper bus journey, but didn't want to find out about like a National Express coach service. Obviously, you're on this for a long time, 7 hours 51 minutes. So it is a proper posh coach. But I would definitely consider it a bus service, because I've got the timetable here, okay? And some of the stops, they're like every 3 minutes.
Yeah, they're like proper bus stops, aren't they?
They're like proper bus stops. I'll list some of them here. Luss Village, A82 northbound. Inverbeg Hotel. Tarbet, A82 at the hotel car park. Ardlouis Hotel, Sloy Power Station, Crianlarich Hotel, Bridge of Orkney Hotel, Onick Post Office. these are actual bus stops. So this isn't some kind of National Express driving for half an hour and then swing into a bus station somewhere. You literally are stood waiting by the side of the road, probably with a beautiful mountain beside you. Chris, when the patrons keep on coming and funding more episodes of this wonderful podcast, this is another hack I'd love to do. Because there's a hack here, all right? Scottish CityLink may have this bus service. It may be the longest one in the UK. But what's quicker? Travelling from Glasgow to the Kyle of La Calche on their bus, or Glasgow to the Kyle of La Calche on a train because it is a stop on the National Rail Network.
I'm just going to guess train.
I don't know.
All right.
Because we should do it as a hack.
Okay, I'm in. I'm up for it. That's the second proposed hack for the brighter future we're looking forward to.
Here's what we do. We go up on the bus, we come back on the train and stay overnight at one of these bus stop hotels.
Oh, brilliant. And get absolutely steaming.
My wife listens to this.
No, I mean, and do research for the next day.
That's it.
Gosh, I miss a drink up. I just drinking so boring now.
It's really boring, isn't it?
I can't be bothered anymore. I've stopped.
We found a way of doing a virtual travel podcast. I don't think you do a virtual drinking podcast. That's not going to get us through it, is it?
No, it's not enough. Can I give you a little tidbit, Rich?
Yes.
I also, as part of the research, I was interested to find out where else in the UK had like super long bus journeys.
There's a
London journey and that is a regular bus that is nowhere near as long, but it's quite grim, so I thought I'd point it out.
Okay, I'm going on the TfL website right now.
It's the X26 from Heathrow to Croydon.
Oh.
And it is 24 miles long, takes 2.5 hours on a good run, and basically is a pretty depressing way to get from Heathrow to Croydon or the other way around.
It goes through Kingston, that's all I can see for starters. But wow, that is X26 from Heathrow to Croydon. Why would anyone want to go from Heathrow to Croydon?
I guess if you go to Heathrow Airport.
Yeah.
And you live in Croydon.
Fair point. I guess more the question is...
Shouldn't have been that complicated, Rich.
Why would anyone want to go to Heathrow from Croydon? To get out of Croydon, basically.
Yeah.
Well, look, we need to fund that £47 bus fare from Glasgow to Ig. Here's an advert.
It's a pretty good ad, that.
It was a good ad.
Except if you experience just 3 seconds of silence, and then that's pretty depressing.
You need to have more faith in our advertisers, Christopher.
Okay.
I firmly believe there will be an advert there.
If you didn't keep telling our advertisers to go fuck themselves, we'd probably have a few more.
I only told Rubicon to go fuck themselves, and the comments still stand.
Right.
Anyone else is free to advertise.
Rubicon, okay. We offer a new package on the show where you sponsor just me.
You can go on the bus to Ig.
Sure.
Right, Chris, I think we have time for one final hack of the night.
Yeah, and
the afternoon, the day.
After that, we've got to do Gretchen's letter, though.
Have you seen the time on the countdown?
Look, this is not fair. Come on.
Next week, then, put Gretchen's letter first, and we might have time for it. But we've gone on. If you hadn't done all those non-league football grounds, we'd probably have had time for Gretchen's letter.
This is not. If you hadn't made the mistake of not putting Wimbledon on the map. Gretchen, we're really sorry, next week. Hi, Chris and Richie. My friend and I had a recent argument about how to best get through the original Super Mario games for Nintendo 1-3. Straight play through all the levels at warp or warp at every chance. Best, Josh.
Is this...
Wow.
What do you mean, wow? This is a Travel Hacker podcast. This is not some console podcast.
He's asking us to travel hack a video game. The journey... through the game, he's asking us to hack it for him. No one has ever asked us to do this before.
The reason nobody has ever asked us to hack a computer game before is because this is a podcast about journeys, about real life.
Yes!
Super Mario is not real life.
People really play Mario and
they
go on a journey through it.
There are a compendium of games podcasts for them to go and find. This is not the place they're going to find that answer.
Okay. I don't think you're a Super Mario Brothers fan, are you?
I've done Mario Kart.
Okay, same characters, but very, very different game.
I'll try and answer it, and then we can all move on, all right? Go and find that black bullet thing. That seemed to get me really quickly around the Super Mario Grand Prix. So go and find that to get through the levels 1-3. There you go.
Right. Okay, that's not a hack. Okay, Richie, you've been doing... We'll review it in a minute, yeah? That is not a hack. And Josh, I want to apologise from the show to you like Richie and I, and neither of us are massive gamers, but I do think the fact that you asked us to hack something that, you know, we physically could never do, I find conceptually really interesting, particularly when you talk about Mario Bros. 3, where the whole world is mapped out in really quite an intricate way. One and two less so, but I still think that that's pretty interesting. So
you're talking as if you're a gamer.
I was in the 80s and 90s, like when these games first came out. Like, I love Mario Brothers 1 to 3, Super Mario Brothers 1 to 3. And
if these games first came out in the 80s and 90s and he's looking for a quick way to do it right now, well, I mean, he's obviously shit.
No, honestly, these games live on. Like, I still have. I've got like a new mini SNES, a newish mini SNES, and I still play like some of these games. Some of them, I play Mario Kart, I play Mario 3, and sometimes you want to hack your way through the world as quickly as you can rather than try to score as many points as you can. It's a thing. Like, on Mario Land on the Game Boy, it used to be how quickly can you get through the game? Like, you know, because once you've completed it a couple of times, you'd look to do new hacks. You know, like, Richie, if you were trying to get from Woolwich to Arsenal as quickly as you possibly could, mm-hmm. once you'd done it one way, you'd start to try to add new elements to the journey, maybe, as a part of the competition. And this is exactly the same.
I think you're being Evers. Is he family, this bloke?
I have no idea who Josh is. Josh, I like you, though.
I think you've been a little bit too accommodating for him.
I'm not saying you're without a point, but I do find it conceptually interesting. Like, the idea, for example, like, what if someone who was a fan of, say, a big fantasy, like a Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings, that, you know, they have quite a lot of maps.
Yes.
And what if someone was to say, you know, can you find me the quickest route to get from the Shire to Lothlorien? Or,
no.
You know, or as in the final season of Game of Thrones, how they seems to manage to get from the north to the south all of a sudden really quickly, whereas it took weeks in the first season.
I reserve the right to pivot, okay? And if someone had came in with a hack about the Seven Kingdoms,
yep,
and hacking their way from various places around that, I'd be all over that like Flynn.
You'd be all over that like a Dothraki herdsman with a
yes,
with a Khaleesi in tow.
Here's a question that you need to answer carefully. If I was a character from Game of Thrones,
yeah,
who am I and why?
You know, it's bad. I'm not going to go with my initial thought because it's cruel.
No, oh, we all want to hear that now.
Let's think. It would have been Joffrey, but let's move on.
You prick.
Okay, you're headstrong.
Yes.
Extremely high set of moral values.
Thank you. This is better.
Destined to go about things the wrong way. You are Daenerys Targaryen.
Wow. Okay, so I make it right up to the end.
Yeah, I mean, you still get burnt to death quite... Is that how she died in? I can't even remember now.
Yeah, she did. Her own dragon, I seem to believe.
Yeah.
Cool, there's a spoiler.
Sorry, guys. It's a really bad last season. You don't want to watch it.
Imagine if you found out about the end of Game of Thrones on a travel hacking podcast. Oh, you'd have to look at your life.
But please do become a Patreon.
Please do become a Patreon at patreon.com/travelhacker.
Good.
I slowed up again there, didn't I?
you peaked and then come
again. Or you can email us at travelhackerpodcast@gmail.com. I got that one right. Or you can tweet him at producer Chris if you want it to be a secret from me. Ooh, secrets. Or you can tweet me at Richie Firth. Okay. Those are all ways you can get in touch with us. If there's somewhere you want hacking, a journey that you want hacking, as we get ourselves ready for the end of the pandemic, we hackinate, then we vaccinate. In fact, do it the other way around. It's more effective because we will get out there again. But if you want us to hack a journey that you want to do in your little mind, a virtual hack right now, get in touch in the ways that I've just listed.
Bye, Daenerys.
I'm off to go and have some chocolate lemon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.